So one thing that came up was, I know you talk about not using Nakshatra Lords at all.
For what? You mean like Krishna?
Well, you know, like interpretive aspects, it seemed. I mean, you know, they seem to be used to set up the various dasha systems, but you didn't seem to use them for necessarily principles, or...
We can use them like Krishnamurti style. You know how they use, like, the Nakshatra Lord to represent the Jiva of the planet and all this, like, as almost like they use it similar to House Lords in that, you know, the Lord of... The, you know, the moon's nakshatras in the eighth house debilitate it, so it destroys the moon. Like, totally used like that. You know, we use it in the Panchanga. But I don't use it to interpret the meaning of that nakshatra's qualities.
Okay.
You know, like, for a Rashi, we use the nakshatra to determine, like... You know, it's like Taurus. It's ruled by Venus, so it has these kind. It enjoys comforts. It enjoys, you know, You know, Leo. It's ruled by the sun. So, but for the nakshatras, people try and apply that same logic, and it's wrong.
Okay. But you'll use it for specific principles, like
totally.
Like, I was looking at some principles, Zoran. I got Zoran's new book.
Yeah,
and he was using it for like six house stuff. And if you see, you know, Shani Nakshatra rulers and some bad house in the Navamsha, then bam, you know, disease.
That's in his basics book.
Yeah, it's not a basics book. It's brush up on the basics, and he's teaching all these, like, you know, things you don't find anywhere else, and you need a lot of, you know, you need a background to even understand it, but...
Okay. I haven't got it yet. I figured I'd pick it up from him when I'm going to see him in India in a little bit, so I figured I'd just get a copy direct from him. Oh, my God.
It's good. No, I mean, I'm appreciating it, but yeah, it's, like, yeah, my sister, I was visiting with family, and she's... So I'm kind of interested in this stuff. She's like, basics book. Like, you know, can I borrow this? I'm like, no, you don't get it. Like, just need something else. But anyway, okay. So
I'm just happy I wrote this book when I did. I wouldn't be able to write it right now. You know.
You're writing when you're more in a... elementary framework, kind of, in a way, or?
The thing is, I was just back from India, and I'm hanging out with people that don't know it, and I was quite happy to start and talk about just basic beginner stuff, you know? Like, now, like, you'd have to shoot me to, like, you know, you'd have to hold a gun to my head to be able to write this kind of material.
Yeah.
You know, to spend my time on just, like, you know, not, like, bringing in all the, you know, and it just to stay with just, like, actual basics.
Mm-hmm.
But the big thing is when these basics are strong, then everything else is just awesome. If the true basics, you know, like, if these basics aren't strong, then all this other stuff that Sanjay is utilizing is kind of like it can just fall on its face because, okay, so the Lord of Saturn's Nakshatra is doing what? How do you judge whether it's good or bad? Or you know what I mean? Like, we look at all these Panchanga rules. How do we really judge any of that? Just all of it, you know? You look at these yogas. If you're looking at these yogas and it says it'll make you a millionaire and you don't know Argala, to see that, like, it's totally, you know, Virodhud, and, like, the, you know, it's, yes, it might be a nice yoga, but there's three planets giving Virodhud to it. You know, like... there's so many things that, and that's just off the top of my head, that there's so many things that if you don't get those core basics, all these awesome techniques are kind of worthless. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So that's...
But I fully use Nakshatra Lords for all those fun, crazy techniques. and but not to interpret, you know, they're like Barney Nakshatra. Well, it's ruled by Venus, so it's creative. That's why they have the yoni. No.
Not for the meat.
Yeah,
it's but like, would you use it in context of like dasha sequences too, like in a Saturn dasha, a planet in a Saturn nakshatra that might get lit up more? I mean, would you use it in that level too?
The Krishnamurti people do that, but I don't put emphasis on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen that in a lot of stuff. So.
Yeah, it's a the Krishnamurti Padati stuff. Have you seen any of their stuff?
Yeah. I've seen it. I haven't gone down that road. I've tried to avoid it. It's too. Whole other thing. I don't want to get confused.
But yeah, so that's kind of their vibe, and I get the concept, but you know, you see what I have in the dasha, how to read a dasha section. It's like, I mean, we really don't need any more.
Yeah.
And I mean, we can keep adding more, but like,
why? Yeah.
And yeah, why?
Yeah.
And totally why. I just saw this one chart I had this morning. The woman I'm looking, and it was just like the transits of Saturn. Every house he was going into was just, he was just destroying each house, and she was running a Saturn Mahadasha. It must have been why Saturn was being so destructive, but the transit of Saturn, the house, the planets in it, and the Bhavapadas just destroying. Absolutely destroying. And you know, she had a situation where Saturn was transiting the sixth house, which is normally a good transit, you know. Six and 12th house transit of Saturn normally are good, because sixth house, it destroys the enemies that you know, and 12th house, it destroys your secret enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly 12th house from Aruta Lugna, the best, man. It's you know, as long as, like, from Lugna, it's not destroying anything. The 12th house from Aruta Lugna, that's your real... Those are the secret enemies who want to hurt you. Like, they want to hurt your image. And it's like, okay, somebody's a secret enemy and they don't like me. Who cares, right? It's the people who want to hurt you, who want to, like, make you look bad. They're the ones that are the dangerous enemies, right? You know, the neighbor doesn't like you. He curses every time he sees you. So what? It's that 12th from Aruta Lugna, that's the danger. And you know, when it comes to business, your Aruta is so important. So an enemy to your business, it's, you know, financially, it's a big deal. So that Saturn transiting the 12th from Aruta Lugna, it's great. Really just great, you know? So... She has the A2 there. And I haven't written any articles or anything on the A2, but traditionally it's Kutumbakam. You know how they talk about the family in the second house? But then you also have family in the fourth? And my concept of family, what they mean by family in the second, is, you know, we come from these like families where it's mom, dad, and kids. And sometimes there's not even dad there. It's mom and kids or dad and kids. You know what I mean? We come from these, what do they call it? Nuclear, is that the right term?
Nuclear, yeah.
You know, we come from these nuclear families where it's not connected to anything else. Where in India, you know, you're living in the same house with aunts and uncles and you know, the neighbors are also aunts and uncles and cousins. And it's like so many relatives. So your community is your family. So they call it just family, but to me, our community is not family. Our community is much more like, you know, all the other people that are doing Iyengar yoga, or the other people that are doing Jyotish, or the other people that, you know, whatever it is that we're into, that community of people that we're with, that's a much more who our community is. They're who we're like relying on and calling. And if, you know, you need somebody to pick up your kid, I mean, are you going to call your brother? Are you going to call some of your friends from some yoga or something that you've like made, right?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, so A2, I've always interpreted it as the community, not the family. And it's a small, you know, it's a very cultural differentiation to make. But yeah, this woman, Saturn transited the A2 and the 6, the whole community fell apart. The guru died. Everybody's fighting over who's in charge, ripping apart, trademarking certain words, fighting, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
How's that for Saturn over the A2, you know?
And you're in that distinction, you're taking A4 more as like the their family then?
A4 is mother. And so mother and you know, normally mother would also be the babies and little children that she has around her.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then 11, you're taking more as just work and acquaintance kind of stuff?
Totally.
Or, yeah.
Totally.
Okay. Down the list, stronger, so one thing I saw, it wasn't in your book, but I was looking at Zoran's, and he kept referencing it was about when he was looking for the Aruda, if the sevens from the Aruda, like Lugna, was stronger, he would take that as the functional Aruda.
Yep.
That's a steady kind of general rule.
I'm writing Justin to bring me a kombucha if he has time, and then I'll totally answer that. That is something that I partially agree with and partially disagree with.
Okay.
Can you pick me up a gratitude kombucha? I know he's coming into the actual room, so. You know. The thing is, that rule is irrelevant to me.
Because the one axis is influencing each other so much.
Yeah, because I'm when it comes to Arutas, I'm completely focused on axis.
Know,
to me, it's all about the axis of the Aruta, and the door is as important. And let's look at Hillary. You know, she's more famous as the wife of Bill than she is as a senator or anything else. You know?
Yeah.
Because Bill, as president, as first lady, that was her doorway to true fame.
Mm-hmm.
And so a person can be famous for not only what they are, but how they, you know, how they get shown to the world. So in that case, she's like famous for having been the wife of the president. So that's like an example of like the Dwara, the door. The seventh house in this case is called the Dwara. It's the doorway. Uh-huh. It's what's either making us famous or blocking our fame. Malefics in the seventh are blocking the door, and benefics are opening the door to fame. So, you know, like, and so say that somebody has Saturn and Mars in that house. Their door's completely blocked unless they do something related to death. You know, they do something related to death, they go through the doors of death, and then they become famous for working with dying people, or famous for, you know, like this.
Yeah. You still got the root Argala kind of situation to work with.
Exactly, it's almost like Argala. You know, it's like, it's giving a stronger effect to influence what the image is. So you can do stronger first or seventh Aruta, but to me it's irrelevant. And the big thing is if you do stronger from that, are you going to do second from Aruta Lugna from the stronger of the first or seventh? I have not seen the stronger I have not seen the utilization of houses from the seventh giving proper results. And I mean, what was it? Barry wrote on Jyotish Currents the other day. He's like, does anybody have any Aruta information besides Sanjay Roth and Freedom Cole? You know? And it's like, well, you know, because I mean, that's, there isn't.
No.
And, you know, when Sanjay was teaching Arutas, I fell in love with him. And so, I have huge amounts of material that I haven't even put out there yet. I was writing a book that never got finished. And now it's, I mean, that was 2006 that I was writing that. So it's 10 years ago. Gosh, 10 wow. years ago. Oh, so to even pick it up now feels like...
You can give me your notes. I'll
I'll
try to hack it out.
The big thing is, it's like I have a whole different writing style now, and the level of my Sanskrit is also different, because some of that was not even written. Some of that was written in 2003, 4, and 5, so the level of my Sanskrit back then was much lower. And so both my Sanskrit knowledge, my writing style, my teaching style, it's all evolved. So it's like written in kind of like, you know, it's, I'd have to almost re-edit everything. It's too much work. Too much work.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's some there's some yummy, juicy concepts in there. Eventually. And then do I do the sections in there that are on Upapada? Do I keep them in the Aruda book, or do I put them into a relationship book? You know?
Both.
Because, you know,
be complete.
I mean, say again,
just be complete.
But, you know, do you have two complete books, or do you have one that says refer to this book?
Yeah,
you know, because at the same time you don't want the same material in two different books. Then I'd look like David Frawley. just
you have a relationship book on the horizon?
I started working on one. Got maybe 40 something pages, 40, 50 pages. And then, you know, but it's more like notes and different stuff. Wrote like seven or eight pages just on the relationship between Venus and the sun. Whether Venus is before the sun, with the sun, after the sun. And then if it's in the same sign, before and after, the combustion and the different concepts that go with that. And yeah, that'd be nice, you know. And then give all the relationship and Venus remedies in that book, because, you know, volume 2 only has like the malefic remedies.
Yeah.
Rahu, Saturn, and Ketu. And I couldn't do Mars in there, because Mars is a fully different approach. Because Mars, even though he's a Tamas Graha, he's a Sura planet. You know Asura and Asura?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know the difference? Asura means... Asura is like a demon. You know,
okay,
it's kind of very self-centered, it's self-focused, it's... You know, and in the Asura camp, we have Venus, Mercury, Rahu, and Saturn. So you know what I mean? They're all about me. It's very Asura. It's materialistic. It's, you know. And then in the Asura camp, they're protectors of the light. We got Sun, Jupiter, Moon, Mars. So they're light protectors. So where Saturn and Rahu, they're Tamas Grahas, but they're Tamas and they're Asura. Where for Mars, he's Tamas, but he's Sura. So it's a whole...
Breaking good.
He's not selfish. His job is to protect. His job is to fight for righteousness. But, you know, then he shows up in your chart in the wrong place, and what he considers righteous might end up being, like, angst that totally, like, is your dad beating you up. Or, you know, your brother, like... being a, you know what I mean, like, yeah. So
yeah.
It's a whole different kind of state of consciousness to talk about Mars remedies. So I didn't even try and do it for volume 2. It was too much to kind of like, yeah. But because with Mars, it's all, you know, we're just trying to shanti him, you know, shanti him primarily. How it's so rare you just want to make Mars strong.
Yeah, he's kind of strong. He's strong as it is. Yeah.
Yeah, he's so dangerous that we don't want to make him strong most of the time. You know?
Yeah.
Most of the time, not all of the time, but but yeah. So we got off on that because we were talking about the Arutas in 1-7.
And then somewhat in line with 1-7. I know we've talked a lot about like. you know, the whole idea of lots of planets in the first versus seventh, you know, give more focus on self versus relationships.
Yeah.
But I mean, what if we're looking at a general chart, or if we're doing matching and someone doesn't have planets in one or seven, or, you know, there's
no planets,
and that's not the focus at all, I take it?
Yeah, no planets in one or seven is nice. And I mean, yeah, if we wanted to get nitpicky, we could find the stronger of the signs. And then you can just go to the Rashi Dashas and... the cheat way to do that is just go flip over to the Dashas and see which house it's starting from. Do you know how to calculate the Rashi Dashas?
Kind of. But I mean, looking at the which dasha is running itself, or
so if we go over, I'm gonna just dig up your chart real fast. Hold on. So if we go to your chart, Frank, and then let's see. And I'm pulling up your daughter's chart as well and your wife's chart here.
You got my wife's chart?
Maybe not. It's Nagoya?
No.
No? You did a reading to somebody born in Nagoya, Japan.
Oh, Nagoya. Some kid.
Okay. So if we look at your chart, we go to Dashas and we go to Rashi Dashas.
Uh-huh.
On Narayana Dasha, we see that it started in Scorpio.
Okay.
We go to your Scout's chart and... Let's see. Is she Scorpio Lagna?
Yeah, she is.
So she also started in Scorpio. If I look
It starts one or seven always.
Yeah. And if okay. If I go over to, let's see, this Nagoya, Japan guy. So in the Nagoya chart, if you look at it, do you remember who that is, so you can pull it up?
Yeah. Actually, we gave him a Matungi mantra.
Uh-huh.
And he's starting to have some, like, spiritual experiences. I don't know if it's related, but, like... Yeah, and he like totally changed his direction. He's like, no, I realized I didn't want to do this. So it seems like it's doing something.
Perfect. Sounds good. And you did a little Matungi sadhana, right?
Yeah, I did some practices. Yeah.
Perfect. So if you look at his chart, he's Aries Lagna, and you look at his Narayana Dasha, it starts with Libra. And you see there's moon and sun in the seventh house.
Okay.
So here it's obvious that the seventh house is stronger, but you know, like with your chart, you know, you don't have anything in first or seventh. But if we just look at the Narayana Dasha, we see it starts with Scorpio. So according to Narasimha's computer calculations, the Lagna is stronger. So the thing is, what I'm basically saying is, you can do all the calculations. Or
you can,
and this is kind of like a nice, you know, if you're, you know, you're being real fast this way, and you know whether first or seventh is stronger.
Okay.
a little.
I would concur with that as well. So.
Say again.
I would concur with that experience as well. So.
And what's your wife have? Does she have the first or seventh stronger?
Seventh.
Nah, perfect then.
Yeah, it works out. She's close. She's got two planets in Lagna and three in seventh. So.
Oh my goodness.
But she eked it out.
but still, she has three. The seventh is stronger. You know.
Yeah.
So and your first is stronger, which. It's a key compatibility component that is rarely discussed. You know, I don't know. And it's one that Sanjay uses, but he uses so many things that he doesn't even, you know, speak, you know. Oh, you should know that. What do you mean, speak that out?
That's so basic.
That's so basic. Yeah, you should know that.
Yeah, I read that whole Light on Relationships by Svoboda, and I didn't even come across. And
what did come across? I mean, besides a little sinistry, the book is kind of. When I started working on that relationship book, you know, even though it's only 50 pages, I just skimmed through there to see, like, well, what do they cover? Because if they cover something really good, I don't need to cover it, you know, like,
yeah,
in big detail. And, like, you know, I went to the Navamsha section, and it was, like, two paragraphs. I'm like,
yeah.
Half the book should be the Navamsha section, you know, to do relationship stuff. Yeah, but
it was basic. It was, you know, it's a beginning.
It's a whole book, though, you know.
But yeah, for those, yeah, for their level of fame, it's
yeah, exactly.
Not a little uncalled for, but anyways, it's life.
But hopefully, it's just part of the evolution, you know.
And then one big thing I'm curious about is Parivartana.
Uh-huh.
A clarification as far as, I mean, I know I've read some of Vishti stuff and some of the complications with reading it.
Yeah.
I haven't fully digested it, but, you know, Sanjay seems to really keep planting this idea where, you know, when they switch, they're both like in their own sign, so they rise to the level of the tattva.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I don't know, but you know, like I was looking at a chart where it's Mars and Rahu as rulers of the sixth and eighth switching signs, which, you know, it seems like a heavy combination. And I mean, is that really gonna, you know, bring out the best in them?
But the big thing is, a planet in its own tattva in the sixth or eighth, you know, doesn't, what's the right word? It doesn't, it brings out its own tattvas, and what do we have? We have 12th house is Vimala, 6th house is Harsha, and the 8th planet in its own sign in the 8th house is, what's the yoga? It's Harsha in the 6th, Vimala in the 12th, and... and I'm spacing it, but there are three different goddess names. Vimala is a name of a goddess. Harsha is a name of a goddess, and
number eight.
Number eight is
That's not a joke, is it?
Huh? In this book?
But
it's okay. They're standard yogas that when you look, like, they're even listed in under strengths, you know. Let's see, I'm trying to think who has eighth lord in the eighth. Does Amarnath? I know he has, or is it ninth lord he has in the eighth? He has Bhadaka in the eighth, so no. I'm not thinking of a person off the top of my head, because then I'd be able to see. But yeah, so its own lord in the 12th is Vimala, makes somebody very frugal. You know, they can, like, get by with very minimal. Own lord in the 6th, Harsha. Harsha means laugh. It's like they laugh in the face of anything. Whatever it is, they laugh and overcome. And in the 8th house, the planet in its own sign, makes a person just, like, fearless. They just go for anything. It's like nothing holds them back. So, I mean, you know, that's the beneficial side of own planet in its own sign. But
yeah, so it's behaving like that some, but how is it behaving just by fact that it's, you know, they're not in its own sign? You know, it's still a planet in the eighth, you know?
Yeah, and it's still a planet in the eighth, and different planets, you know, do better or worse in the eighth. Like Moon does horrible in the eighth. Mercury does fine, you know. Saturn does okay, and so, you know, you got that. But I really there's different ways. There's ways where you even switch the sign. There's ways where you switch the house. And sometimes there's even rules where, like, let's say you have a Parivartana and the one planet's conjunct something. Then you literally bring all the planets with it. And, to me, I just count it as a yoga. Like, today, I had a chart. Woman had Mars K2, Moon... Mars K2 and Moon in the fourth house in Virgo, and in the second house she had Rahu and was it just Rahu? Let's see. So in Cancer, I know there was definitely Rahu there. Why is she not up here? Because I used this one. Mercury and Sun. I knew there was another planet there. Mercury and Sun in the second house. So there's a Parivartana between the Moon and Mercury there. And this is a woman who's like complete healer. You know, she's been a healer, a teacher for her entire life, and she's in her 60s. So, you know, that Mercury-Moon, she's got this Mercury-Moon combination making her a healer with that K2 Mars dealing with the anger and the intensity and all that. I just completely use it as a Mercury-Moon yoga in that fourth house, and I bring the Moon up at Mercury-Moon yoga into the Moon into its own sign kind of energy in the second. So it makes that Mercury give much more prosperity and everything of that nature.
So you were just saying you bring the Moon into the second almost?
I just act like they're in yogas.
Okay. Will you still give it, like, the Moon some of the effects of those other planets in the fourth house still, or?
I don't.
No, it's just...
When I bring Mercury down, it's as if they're all there. And I'm telling you how I do it.
Yeah.
As a regular, and there's all these different rules and concepts, but, you know... I just do it.
Yeah, well, that's why I want your experience.
I just do it as yogas there. Now, if we were talking from another perspective of, should this person invest in real estate? You know, of the chart just mentioned. Would you say yes or no?
What planets were in the fourth?
K2, Mars, and Moon. And Mercury and Sun in the second, and they're in a, you know, Parivartana there.
Yeah, that sounds pretty promising with the Karakas there.
Totally. Karakas are there, and it's in a Parivartana linking it to the second house, showing that she's going to make lots of money from land. So real estate's going to make her lots of money. It's a totally awesome combination. If this person asked me, you know, should I invest it? And there's nothing in the fifth or the 11th house, you know? So if this person said, should I do stock or should I do real estate? It would be a very easy question.
Uh-huh. And just when you're saying that you see it as the yoga, so, but which house are the yogas moving to then? I mean,
I take it as Mercury Moon energy in the fourth and Mercury Moon energy in the second.
Okay, both houses are getting the effects. Okay.
And you know, like, if we look in the sometimes we can look at some of the other rules to kind of backfeed in. If you look in the D7, let's say, and I talk about the D7 in here, how to tell whether it's a boy or a girl, right? And you know, that was the technique I taught. It's such an important technique. And of course, Sanjay has 30 or 40 different, you know, if this is like this, then that, you know, changes. But, you know, just the basics are there. So then you add other rules on, but, you know, and okay, the exceptions are always so rare that, you know, you're right more than you're not, you know, and with just the basics. But let's say the second child is being indicated by Jupiter and Sag. I mean, that's a boy. And actually, I said Jupiter and Sag. Let's say Jupiter and Aries. You know, okay. that's a it's a male sign, male planet. We got a boy there. But
but
if it's in Parivartana with Mars, it's going to give us a girl.
Huh.
Just because it's showing there's a switch happening.
Uh-huh.
And that alone, that little, the fact that there's a switch of sex because of that Parivartana, when we're, and you know, because D7, that's what we're caring about. Like, how many kids? Are they boys or girls? What are they going to do for a living? And so we see that there's a switch of sex. So there's a, there's that switch is indicating us that there's a change that's happening. So if we look at the Parivartana, you know, is the Parivartana like something that's active from the beginning, or is it showing that there's going to be?
Yeah, there's some. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the thing is, we don't want to just take this rule where it says, "Oh, treat it as if it's in the other sign." Because then we would miss the switch.
That's the fucking pie at some point, yeah.
Yeah. It's a process, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that Japan chart we were talking about, the kid, he's got a lot of Mercury, Moon, Parivartanas in his divisional charts. And so it was tricky to read. And I was like, you know, and he's coming up in Mercury at 26. And I'm like, there's going to be some huge shifts. And like, you know, he was asking about future stuff and it was just hard to look at. And, but he's in like a sub dasha of Mercury and Moon now. And he's like totally flipped his mind around. And like,
what was he studying previously?
He's studying journalism.
And what's he switching to?
Psychology.
So he's switching from the Mercury into the Moon.
Yeah. So. Of course, yeah.
That's funny. Ay, ay, ay. But the thing is, in the end, he has to bring them out. He has to bring them together.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be a nice.
Probably take effect when Mercury hits, I was imagining. So.
Yeah, so he'll be a journalist of psychological kind of things, and he'll be giving the psychological views and writing for all this kind of stuff. Awesome. All right, we got 10 minutes to the next class. I'm going to take a small break.
All right, no problem. See you there.
See you there.